There's a familiar phrase that we've heard many times. You'll recognize it. We are told that we need to expect the unexpected. I was kind of kidding around with Nancy before I came up. He said, you know, I think maybe what I should do when Mr. Villascusa announces me for the sermon, I'll just sit here. See how long people kind of start fidgeting around and wondering, okay, what's going on? Well, it would be unexpected for me to do something, right? Like that? Maybe not. All right, what are some unexpected things that you can think of that have happened in recent history? So just let your mind start thinking of some things maybe in the past 50 years or so that have happened that would have been unexpected. I have a list of my own that I came up with. April 1986, the nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl in Eastern Europe. Go back a little further, the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, December 1945. In fact, World War II itself, the beginning of World War II, the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, the Jewish Holocaust, all those things, unexpected. If someone would have said, you know, years before that, that in the 1930s and 40s, 6 million Jews would be slaughtered. Well, that's impossible. That can't happen. Or that the United States Navy would be attacked, Pearl Harbor. That can't happen. And what kind of a bomb? That powerful? There's no such thing. I would never expect that. November 22nd, 1963, the assassination of John F. Kennedy, President of the United States. Unexpected. How about 9/11? Maybe one of the ultimate in our generation that we can think of. Or perhaps more ultimate, and add a little humor, the election of Donald Trump. Unexpected. Fooled everybody, right? The Republican Congress can't seem to work together. No, that should have been expected. All right. Terrorist attacks are sudden and unexpected. Today we hear about vehicles plowing into a group of pedestrians trying to see how many they can injure or kill. Probably with a large-sized truck if they can get their hands on one. Or as we saw in London, someone suddenly pulling out a knife, slashing as many people as they can. These are often called smaller, quote, lone wolf attacks. They come out of nowhere. Well, that's their plan. They strike when nobody's expecting it. Everything seems just fine, and then suddenly, at places one might not expect. When will the next one occur? Where will it occur? My niece and nephew and their two kids just spent 3 weeks in Europe. My sister was worried the entire time. What if? Thankfully, nothing did happen. We have unexpected natural disasters like major earthquakes. December the 26th, 2004, the Sumatran earthquake registered as the third most powerful earthquake ever recorded at 9.1 on the Richter scale, caused the Indian Ocean tsunami. The total death toll, they really don't know, estimated at over 250,000 people. We've had major volcanic eruptions. Most notable to us would be Mount St. Helens in 1980. Mount Vesuvius in Pompeii was an unexpected event in 79 AD, killing about 16,000 people. And the remains are preserved for us to see today. An unexpected tornado can suddenly drop down, causing widespread devastation. When we think in recent times of a devastating tornado, often we think of the tornado that struck Joplin, Missouri, May 22nd, 2011, killing 158 people, injuring more than 1,000. The storm packed winds in excess of 200 miles an hour and was on the ground for 22 miles of destruction. We have many other unexpected events that take place in our lives. We read or hear about gas line explosions that will blow up a home, fires, flash floods, a heart attack, a stroke. So many things can happen that just seem to come out of nowhere. I didn't expect that. Some of these things can either take our lives or change our lives forever. When things like this happen, we are devastated when they happen to us or to those we love, perhaps leaving us in a state of shock, disbelief. And we would ask, how could God let this happen to me? As we've described many times before, when we think of the ultimate unexpected catastrophe happening, we often think of what happened to Job. Suddenly and unexpectedly, he was a righteous man. He would have never expected this. He lost everything, including 10 children. His reaction and response is something we must never forget. Let's look again in Job chapter 1, verse 22. Notice his reaction and response and why I said we must never forget it. In all this unexpected tragedy, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. That would have been so easy to do. Now, does that mean Job simply accepted all this? Oh, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, and he went on with life. No. No, he didn't. Sometimes we forget what else Job said. Chapter 2. I'll read some passages for us. Beginning in Job 2, verse 13. His friends had arrived. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Chapter 3, verse 24. Job expressing his thoughts. For my sighing comes before I eat, and my groanings pour out like water. For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. Did he fear tragedy? Well, apparently, it crossed his mind. He thought of it. And he said, that I fear the most has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. Verse 26, chapter 3. I am not at ease. I'm not quiet. I have no rest. For trouble comes. Chapter 6, verse 4. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. My spirit drinks in their poison. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Verse 8. Oh, that I might have my request, that God would grant me the thing that I long for. What does he long for? Verse 9. That it would please God to crush me, that he would loose his hand and just cut me off. Clearly, Job was suffering. He was in agony. It got pretty bad. Chapter 7, verse 16. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Just let me alone. Job was in the depths of despair as he was trying to figure out why all this was happening to him. He had been doing everything right. This suffering, therefore, was unexpected. But yet we see, from our perspective now, God had a purpose. Brethren, he always does. He always will. Through Job, we were all learning something because his story, we're just reading it. It's been preserved for us all these years. It will be preserved on into the future. Job finally came to understand, as we read in the end of the chapter of the book, that God was in control. And as he learned that, something else unexpected happened. Chapter 42. Verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning. Verse 10 says, indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as what he had before. So Job learned to trust God. We need to learn the same lesson. we need to learn to trust God when the unexpected happens to us. And we should expect the unexpected. If you haven't already figured it out, that's our title today. There are many other examples in the Old Testament of people who faced an unexpected crisis. We're not going to turn to them and read their stories, but as I just mentioned them, you'll recognize them, and we know the stories. Again, these are Old Testament examples of people who faced an unexpected situation, an unexpected crisis. How about starting with Adam and Eve? They didn't expect one son to murder the other. Noah and his family did not expect a worldwide flood, that they would spend some 100 years building an ark, telling the people what was going to happen. Nobody would believe them. Only 8 people left alive on earth, surviving in a big boat that he built and bringing in all the animals. Now, if Job had thought that up and told somebody about that when he was like 70 years old, one day I'm going to do this. Right, Noah. But it happened. Joseph, he didn't expect to be sold as a slave to Egypt. You talk about someone who was doing something right. A good family, being the good kid of the family. I'm obedient to mom and dad, and my brothers, well, they're kind of a pain, but I'm not going to be like them. Sold as a slave in Egypt. Put in prison. They threw away the key. Only to eventually he became second in charge in Egypt, only under Pharaoh. Unexpected. The Israelites, as they come out of Egypt, come up against, a week later, the Red Sea. They didn't expect it to divide so that they could walk across on dry land. Talk about the unexpected. The brave soldier Uriah did not expect his King David to betray him to death and steal his wife. And the list goes on. There's many examples. Turning to the New Testament, thinking of primarily the first century church, the Jews at that time certainly never expected that God would call Gentiles. Gentiles? Call them? And give them His Holy Spirit. And the Jews would have to accept them as brothers and sisters in the faith. Well, they could barely look at them, let alone call them a brother. John the Baptist, a very righteous man, a cousin of Jesus, never expected to be put in prison, subsequently have his head handed to Herod on a platter by a dancing girl. Rhoda didn't expect to see Peter standing outside her door after he was thrown in prison. The weeping widows did not expect to see Peter raise their good friend Dorcas from the dead right in front of them. That was unexpected. The disciples who became apostles, later including the Apostle Paul, never expected that most of them would die as martyrs. No, they were going into the kingdom of God. They expected the return of Jesus Christ in their lifetime. Didn't happen. Paul didn't expect the Galatian church members to so easily forget the truth and turn to false teachings. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul was expressing how unexpected that was, and he wrote it down for us. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. It's not another, but there are some who trouble you and who want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Let's move on. The people of the Church of God in the Middle Ages, those Peter de Bry, the Waldensians, those of that time period in the Middle Ages who were migrating through Europe, trying to find a place to worship God in peace, They never expected that God would allow so many of them to be mercilessly slaughtered by the crusaders of the Inquisition of the Catholic Church. What happened to God's promises of protection and deliverance? And thousands upon thousands died, tragic, horrible deaths. And they could ask, where's the place of safety they thought God had promised them? Wait a minute. This doesn't happen to church people. God puts His angels around us. We ask God for protection. We expect it. This is not going to happen to us, not to church people. Hadn't their pastors told them, after all, God's always going to be there for them. God will see you through anything. God will protect you. After all, we have an important work to do. We've got to take the gospel through Europe to new parts of the world. Eventually, they didn't know it, but it would come to a place called the New World. Had God really forsaken them after all? I submit that if we had lived at that time, we might have thought so. Yep. God's not here. The suffering and death through martyrdom was not what any of us would have expected had we been living then. Because we were told, God's supposed to bless us. Looking back at these centuries now from our perspective, we can see, we're able to see a little bit of what God was doing, and we can answer some of those questions. We know God was there. They couldn't answer the questions. All they could do was trust God that even though it doesn't look like it, He's still here after all. God's fully in charge of what was happening to them. All they could do was cling to their faith as they endured to the end, their end, trusting and believing. So, bring it to us today. What has happened to us as members of the Church of God over the years? Some of us have been in church longer than others. Some of us go back to the 60s. Not sure any goes into the 50s, but a long time. What's happened to us as members of the Church of God over these years that some of us who have been in the church that long, that it would have been very unexpected? We would never thought these things would have happened. I've got a list. Number one, time has gone on longer than any of us ever thought. Well, we were going to the place of safety in 1972. I was never going to graduate from high school in 1972 because we were going to place of safety in January. Christ was going to return. Trumpets, 1975. Didn't happen. We didn't expect that. We thought it would. The receivership of 1979. Some of you don't even know what that is. Attacks on the Church of God intensified. We wondered, where's God? How can He let this happen to our church? There was a division between Herbert W. Armstrong and Garner Ted Armstrong. Father and son. Why, they were God's chosen apostles. How could anything happen to them? A split between them? That's impossible. Well, it wasn't. It happened. And Mr. Armstrong died January 1986. Didn't expect that. He was going to live on over and take us into the kingdom of God. Didn't matter if he lived to be 110. God could do that. The apostasy of 1995. The acceptance of mainstream Christianity. We would never have expected that. This is God's church. All ambassador colleges closed. Most graduates aren't even in the church today. I think we were talking about that earlier. Where are they? People I went to school with, where are they? Very few. A Christmas tree is set up in the Ambassador Auditorium in Pasadena. The auditorium dedicated to the honor and glory of the great God. And there's a Christmas tree. The split in 2010, resulting in COGWA being formed. And we started all over again with nothing. And we didn't expect that. People, even today, have left our fellowship. People who we thought were solid and stable members. And our chairs are empty. These are negative things. These are all things that were very unexpected. These are events that none of us could ever have predicted before they happened. But they happened. Many of these things have tested the faith of the church members. And sadly, some have failed the test. Where's God? How could God let this happen? If this is God's church, I don't believe it. He wouldn't let that happen. I thought God was in charge. I thought He was controlling things. And this happened? He would never have allowed this. So this must not be God's church. And over the years, multiple thousands have left the church of God. Only a remnant remains. That was not expected. Not now. We've got to preach the gospel to the world. We can't become a remnant. Not now. But what are some of the positive things that have happened? Perhaps also we would say these things were also unexpected. Let's consider these together. Some positive things that are very unexpected. You sitting here today. Our calling. Unexpected. None of us should ever have been expected to be called in this age. To be called in this age is extremely rare. We've tried to calculate it. It's something like, we call it 0.00001 ten thousandths of a percent. Very rare. Preaching the gospel today through the amazing technology that God has provided. Look at the enthusiasm of Mr. Kylo when he's talking to us about advances in the media and what we're able to accomplish. That's amazing. He would never have expected millions of hits that we're getting when we started out 5 years ago. Reaching our youth through a very successful camp program. We are turning hearts, and we're very successful at that. There's tremendous growth in the church in places we would not have expected. Central Africa, Latin America. And we've had 7 good years of doctrinal stability, growth, peace, and brotherly love. That defines, I believe, Church of God, a worldwide association. Stability, peace, brotherly love. Growth is smaller than we want, but that's up to God. But I believe, and I believe we would all agree, God's presence is here. God's Holy Spirit is evident in the church. We know He's here. We know He's blessing us. He is guiding and directing our way forward, and we are continuing to go forward in total reliance on God, that He will show us the way that He wants us to go, what He wants us to do. Now, right now, we may be expecting good things to continue. We may be expecting these years that we've had, 7 good years of doctrinal stability, of peace and love. We may be expecting, well, this is going to be the way it is. It's going to continue this way for a while. Looks like we're going to simply continue as we are until someday soon, we hope, we're taken to that long-anticipated place of safety. Everything's going to work out fine. No problems. We're just going to sail along smoothly. And one day we'll get that phone call or somehow, and we'll go to the place and we'll have the training. And 3.5 years will pass by just like that. And we'll be in God's kingdom and everything's going to be fine. That's what we may expect the unexpected. So let's speculate. Let's think about some things that we don't expect to happen in our future. We wouldn't expect it. But might, I don't know, we might, because I hope in the sermon we are learning to expect the unexpected. So, all right, let's just have some fun and let's throw out some speculative ideas. What would we do if dot, dot, dot? And you can throw out some of your own in your own mind. Something we wouldn't expect in our future, but might, again, because we're told to expect the unexpected. Here's what I wrote down. What would we do if there was sharp division among the leaders of the church again, and a separation again became necessary? But remember Paul and Barnabas. The contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. Could that happen now? How about false doctrine is introduced by some in Cogwa? False doctrine is introduced. Totally unexpected. No, we've got a way to prevent that from happening. Someone appears to have been miraculously healed, yet they're part of a COG that we would say they clearly are accepting false doctrine, and yet here's absolute proof that someone was miraculously healed. What would we do? North Korea actually detonates a nuclear bomb over South Korea and millions are killed. Nope. We didn't expect that. Although, you look at the news. What happened to the push from the King of the South against the King of the North? I thought that's what we were looking for. Wasn't that supposed to be what was going to happen next? But North Korea? And the result of that horrible tragedy, the result of this is financial chaos in America. Our economy collapses. You lose your job. You lose your home. We're probably not even able to come here and attend services together because of the chaos. What if? What if we build that new office building in McKinney? And just as soon as it opens, there's a major fire that destroys the building and everything in it. What if God let that happen? Again, these are just speculative. The economy in the United States of America stabilizes. The $20 trillion debt paid in full. Prosperity for everyone breaks out. The media stops talking about Russia. Congress works together, passes health care reform. Taxes are reformed. Pigs fly. Okay, that was exaggeration for effect. I'm trying to get across a point. These are unexpected things. And, you know, we can just throw out just some for fun. It's just an exercise and it means nothing. It's just what ifs. Of course we don't expect them. But what I'm asking today is, how would we react? How would we respond if something happened that we could not imagine happening actually happened? Do we really know what will happen? Let me take it a little further. What would happen to our spiritual lives if something completely unexpected happened? There's a major life-changing event that happens. Something on either a national scale or a worldwide scale, or even a scale on the church level. Something dramatic and unexpected. What would happen to our spiritual lives? What would happen to our faith, to our trust in God? Would this cause us to doubt what we've already learned, what we've already accepted as truth? would we say that we've been proven wrong? Things that we thought we had already proven? Would we ever say that because this happened, and whatever event you might want to throw in there, because this happened, therefore we must have been wrong, this cannot be the church of God. Because X happened. I hope we would never say that. If we get nothing else out of the sermon, we'll get this. External events occurring or not occurring is not a sign of the church of God. External events occurring or not occurring is not a sign of God's church. We are identified as the church of God. We had a sermon on this recently. We are identified as the church of God if we keep His commandments and we have love for God and love for one another. There are proofs of the church of God. Events happening isn't one of them. So I think with all of our church history over the past 100 years, and for the first 100 years of the church, we should be able to now recognize that unexpected events can happen and do happen. We should expect the unexpected. Having proven that point, I hope, let's now talk about what we should do when the unexpected actually happens. Let's go to Isaiah 41. The first thing we're always told to do in a crisis situation, don't panic. Don't panic. And sometimes we tend to do that. We certainly, I think, panicked on 9/11. We didn't know what was going to happen. Isaiah 41 and verse 10, we're told, "Fear not, for I am with you." This is always. "Be not dismayed." And we're dismayed. No, he says, "I'm your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." So when a crisis, something unexpected happens, don't panic. God's there. God will strengthen us. God will help us. Verse 13, "For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, and I will say to you, fear not, I will help you." You better memorize that verse. You better count on it and never forget it, because the unexpected will happen. And God's right there trying to reach down and say, "Just reach up, take hold of my hand. I'm right here. I'll help you through this." Again, scriptures like this are what must come to our mind in the first few minutes of any sudden crisis situation. Fear not. Even if you think you're alone, you're not. Others may be experiencing this crisis right along with you. Again, I just mentioned 9/11. Most of us remember what it was like that morning. We probably know exactly where we are and what we were doing. I'm actually reading a book right now about the experiences of many of the survivors, the firefighters of 9/11, those who survived. They have quite a story to tell. Many of them survived simply because they had training. They didn't panic. They took stock of the situation that they found themselves in, and they didn't panic. You talk about having your whole world fall in around you. That literally happened. Yet they remained calm in that they thanked God that they were still alive, and they did what they were trained to do. And some of them simply had to wait for rescue to come. And for them it did. But when that second plane hit the other tower, when the third plane hit the Pentagon, we all knew America is under attack, and we didn't know what was going to come next. We were scared. Many people, panic set in. But here we are, 16 years later. And our world has returned to, I'll put it in air quotes, normal. We've forgotten many lessons that we learned on 9/11. Terrorist attacks of that magnitude, they are not now expected. perhaps they should be. But the point I'm making is that if something like that happens, don't panic. Don't panic. Whatever crisis situation arises in the future, don't panic. Panic will not solve anything. In fact, it makes it worse. The next thing we should do in case of some crisis or unexpected event happening in our lives, don't blame God. Don't blame God for causing you to be in pain or for suffering that you may be enduring because of something that's happened to you that you didn't expect. God does not intentionally harm you. God allows life to happen. We call it time and chance. We're told over and over again that we're going to have trials to deal with. We don't know what those trials are, but they will happen. And we're also told that we're to learn from them, that trials are for our good. We're told that we need to use trials to grow in godly character. Remember the recent sermon we gave, after trials, then what? Well, pure religion is what? That's what we do after trials. We endure them with patience. We receive them with joy, realizing the eventual good result that will come from whatever has happened to us. So, as we consider our future, you need to know people that you know and love are going to get that diagnosis. You're going to be called into the doctor's office and told, "I'm sorry, you've got cancer. There's nothing we can do." People that you know and love are going to have heart attacks, and they will die. Tragedies that we simply cannot explain are going to happen. People will be in bad car wrecks. I think of Mrs. Bowman in Canada. Nobody expected that, not that precious lady. How could God let that happen? Sometime it's going to touch your life too. And when it happens, know that you are going to suffer from the sudden loss. It's going to hurt. It's painful. But it is not God's fault. God's not hurting you. God is not going to shield us from all sadness and from all tragedy. Dealing with it is simply part of human life. God is preparing us to be God beings, and all that that means and all that it takes to bring us there. He knows what He's doing. We don't. So it's okay to cry. It's okay to grieve. But it's not okay to blame God. Rather, we should praise God for His incredible plan of salvation and the hope that He gives us when these things happen. We look beyond the event to the hope of the future. Do you remember what we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4? Especially at the time of the death of a loved one, it reminds us that we must not sorrow as others who have no hope. There will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be eternal life and glory in the kingdom of God. So, another thing to do when something strikes that's unexpected, think clearly and rationally. Think clearly and rationally. Don't jump to conclusions. When we can't understand our problem, when we can't see it clearly, we call it fuzzy, like I'm looking at you, I can't see very clearly right now. Things are kind of fuzzy. Things are very fuzzy. Took off my glasses. It can be very difficult to come up with a solid solution. I just don't know what to do. Sometimes it can be helpful to look at the problem from many angles, many approaches, in order to try to clearly define it. Look at it as clearly as you can. Put on a different set of glasses, perhaps. That was actually the theme of our youth camps this year. It was a wonderful theme. The kids were told and taught how to have vision, how to see clearly in a clouded world. For most of our campers, their world is not really clouded. Their world, they have fun and everything. They're protected. They're sheltered. But really, they do live in a world that's very dangerous. And sometimes we have to help them see that and see that there is hope. And they can see past into a glorious future God has prepared for them. So when the unexpected event happens in your life, especially if it's profound, especially if it's tragic, you can easily make a quick decision, a wrong decision. Don't do it. Give it time. Give it time. Think clearly and look closely at the situation. Clean your glasses. Another point, don't overreact. When the unexpected happens, don't overreact. The sun will rise tomorrow. God promises. You will be okay after all. It might not seem like it. Don't give in to an emotional breakdown. That's what your adversary wants you to do. Your adversary wants you to break down and to blame God. You may think you have the worst problem that anyone has ever faced in the history of mankind. It will seem like it to you. But you don't. Others have been down your path, and they have made it. So will you. From Life, Hope, and Truth. Quote, experiencing emotions is certainly not sin in itself. But what about when emotions overpower our thinking and our minds, becoming even louder than God's truth? For example, when we cannot control the emotion of anxiety, we may have a very difficult time trusting in God's perfect will and His plan. Or when we cannot control the emotion of despair and hopelessness, it is very hard to be a positive light to the world, bringing God's good news to this world. End of the quote. So don't overreact. You will be okay. Another point. Seek support and counsel. Seek support and counsel from loved ones and from your church family. You know, sad as it is, one of the first tendencies that we have in a sudden and a tragic situation is to cut people off. We want to be left alone. I'm hurting. Leave me alone. Or we think we can work out the situation by ourselves. I don't need anyone. If the situation we're talking about is the sudden death of a loved one, yes, certainly you need time to grieve, and you will. But whatever has happened, let those who love you, love you. Let them be there for you. Use their love and support to help you through what has happened. If the event that has happened to you requires that, well, now I must make some very important decisions right now, don't overreact. Don't act hastily. Put those glasses on. Talk about it with your family and with your friends. The Proverbs tell us about obtaining wise counsel before making a decision. Do that. Seek counsel. Listen to counsel. When an event like this happens, this is a good time to invite your pastor over. I hope you know he wants to help you with any difficult situation that you are dealing with. Don't face it alone. Don't isolate yourself from the church when something happens. Sometimes people do that. The church is often your greatest source of comfort, of support, of strength, and actual practical help. It's right here. Consider Matthew 11, verse 28. An incredible scripture in light of what we're talking about. Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." We get heavy laden sometimes when the unexpected happens. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." That's Jesus Christ speaking to you. Jesus Christ lives in the church that he is head of. As I mentioned before, another thing to do, stop everything and take stock of where you are right now. Just stop, take stock, take an inventory of where you are. Take a good look at your life when the unexpected event happens. What are my priorities? What are the really important things in my life right now? What must I do? Am I remembering my relationship with God? Am I remembering my relationship with God's people? Is that still my number one priority in life, as it should be all the time? No external event that happens should affect your number one priority in life. How am I displaying that right now? When an event is a life-changing event, have I remembered that God is still intimately involved with me and God cares for me? In the midst of the crisis, whatever has happened, whatever unexpected event has happened, and not necessarily just death of a loved one, what can expand it to anything? Some of the things we talked about in our hypothetical situations, anything like that happens, God is still intimately involved with me. God cares for me. Matthew 6:31. These are memory verses. Commit them to memory. Matthew 6:31. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For the unconverted think about those things. But I've got my God. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Whatever you need will be added to you." Whatever the crisis situation you may be facing, you face it with God. Don't turn your face from God. That's the worst thing you can possibly do. So once you've taken a good look at yourself, at your life, you've taken a spiritual inventory, you have strengthened your relationship with God, perhaps it's also a good time to take a more, shall we say, physical inventory. If the unexpected event is going to cause you to make changes in your life, once again, put on the glasses. Think carefully about all of your possible options. There is likely several. Do I need to move? If I do, where? Do I need another job? What kind of a job? Do I need to learn or obtain more skills? What kind of skills? Again, take the time to think through these important questions as you remember to seek wise counsel from those who are here to help you. So again, these are some of the practical steps that we can take after the unexpected event has occurred. After the unexpected event has occurred. But what can we do now, before the unexpected event actually occurs? Well, you know what insurance companies do? Insurance is used to protect against unexpected losses. The more you don't expect something to happen, the cheaper the premiums are, right? So someone that's 20 years old, you don't expect them to die suddenly. So their life insurance premiums are really cheap. Mine are expensive. Some of us can't buy life insurance anymore. The risk is too high. Insurance. So we buy insurance in case the unexpected happens. We have insurance for physical things, life insurance, property, our home, our car. But what is our insurance policy against the unexpected events of our lives that affect us that are of a more spiritual nature. Spiritual insurance? If one of these unexpected events happens that we would never have expected to happen, then what's our insurance against losing everything? Against a total loss? Against losing everything spiritually? What's our insurance that we know that won't happen? Well, how about faith? You know, faith. God's really there. I serve an all-powerful God. He's my Father. My Father loves me. My Father's in charge. I believe Him. I'll never doubt Him. Faith. God will always act as my loving Father. I have God's Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will always, it has to, it will always give me peace and joy. My God is the God of all comfort. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of comfort. The Spirit of God is called the Comforter. The Spirit of God leads me, guides me, helps me, brings all things that we've talked about into remembrance. Everything will work for good. I love God. God promises that everything will work out for good because I love Him. So that's insurance, if you remember that. There are many other points we could probably think of. But I think we really do know that these are the things we need to do. Let's take some time now to review some of the scriptures that reinforce for us what God expects us to remember when these unexpected situations and events occur. So let's be thinking ahead about events we know are coming. We don't know when, we don't know how, we're just told they're coming. What does God expect us to remember about them? Matthew 24. One of the major events that we actually are expecting is the beginning of the Great Tribulation. As I alluded to earlier, we thought that it was going to happen a long time ago. So even now, the problem is that we think we know when to expect it. Because we're looking, we're watching. But it's not going to be like that. We're told it will come at a time unexpected. Let's read it. Matthew 24, 43. Know this. If the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, well, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. So therefore, you also be ready. So be ready all the time. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So, again, this is why we should expect the unexpected. It will actually begin at a time that we think, oh, it can't be now, because we're in a time of peace and stability. You know, the Republicans did get their act together. The $20 trillion debt is paid. Russia's our best friend. North Korea, South Korea, they're unified. Peace is breaking out. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. He writes about this concerning the times and the seasons. You have no need that I should write to you, but he did anyway. For you yourselves know perfectly, as we should all know, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We just read it. We've said it for years. For when they will say, peace and safety. They're going to say peace and safety. Who are the ones saying peace and safety? Well, probably all the news media. They can't believe what's happened. It was unexpected for them while the world peace is breaking out. Has something happened to bring peace to the Middle East? So peace and safety. Again, North Korea. Is Europe involved? Whatever has happened, it's going to look to all of us, including us in the church. Well, things have calmed down. And perhaps even our world will appear to be stable. Oh, we've got more time. I wonder what Mr. Kylo has up his sleeve to preach the gospel to the world now, since we have a few years left. But that won't be the case. Consider the next verse. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you, brethren, aren't in darkness, so that this day should overtake you like a thief. Because you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We've got our eyes open. We're alert. We're awake. We're watching. You are not of the night or the darkness, so don't sleep like others do. But let us watch. Let us be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But let us, that's us, who are of the day, we better be sober. We better be watchful. We better put on that breastplate of faith. Why do we talk about faith? It's the breastplate of faith. We better put it on. And love. Why do we talk about being a church of brotherly love? And the helmet, the hope of salvation. Why do we talk about hope in a troubled world? God didn't appoint us to wrath. But He did appoint us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we die or whether we're awake, we will live together with Him. So therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you are doing. This shows us where our priorities have to be, not today, but every day, all the time. We can never let down in any way spiritually. Why would we do that anyway? Why would we ever, I've got more time. I can just relax and let go. We should always be about doing the work of God with zeal, with energy, with fervor, with passion, and keeping our relationship with God strong. We should always help one another, encourage one another to keep these things in mind. To keep these things in mind. We look at the world, our nation, our society, the politics, the ways of this world are not things that we can ever be involved with. They're poison. They're deceptive. They're a smokescreen. This world is on a path, a fast path to sudden destruction. We are not headed for peace and safety. We cannot be lulled to sleep. We cannot neglect it. We must expect the unexpected. It will happen. Isaiah 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. We can't think that we've got things figured out. That we can watch, we can do an analysis, and therefore we know, well, I'm going to expect dot, 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 whatever. God tells us, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And we don't agree with that. We think we've got things figured out, but unless we are submitting to God, following His guidance, His direction in our lives, we won't. We don't have it figured out. This verse also helps us to see that when something unexpected happens in our lives that affects us greatly, the unexpected has happened. I don't understand it. I can't figure this out. Nope. God says, you don't have to understand that. Now, my thoughts are higher. My ways are higher than you can even imagine. God says, trust me. I'll work this out for you. I've got your back. And then we doubt God. We don't think He can work out this particular unique situation that you've never seen this before because this happened to me. And we forget the Red Sea. when we need to remember it. Sometimes we're standing before the Red Sea. Psalm 77. We have to remember the God that we serve, the God that we worship, the God that loves us. Psalm 77, verse 11. I will remember the deeds of the Eternal. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Do we? Verse 14. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. Again, brethren, these are key verses for us to remember when the unexpected happens to us, when it causes us to doubt, to worry, to be afraid. Never forget that our God is a God of the unexpected. He is a God of miracles. He does the unexpected to help us at a time we would have never guessed it. We would have never expected it. That's impossible for that to work out that way. It just can't happen, and then it does. Again, that's what ancient Israel kept forgetting when they got into so much trouble. They forgot the Red Sea. They forgot even coming out of Egypt. God is no less able to do miracles today than he was some 3,000, 3,500 years ago. We just read, you are the God who works wonders. Ask God to do that for you. Ask God to help you through whatever you're going through, and then let him do his thing in his way. Two more. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. If God thinks it, it happens. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. Chapter 46 and verse 9. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old. And that's, he's telling us this. We can't forget it. That's why we read these things. We don't forget. For I am God. There is no other. I am God. There is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do my pleasure. Back up, verse 11 now. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it. Very encouraging. You see, nothing with God is unexpected. God's got it worked out. He's got it planned. He knows exactly what he's doing with us. He knows why. He didn't make a mistake in allowing the unexpected event in your life to happen to you. God didn't blink. God wasn't sleeping when Mr. Carey or Mr. Quijano died. God knows when people that we love die. And he also knows that we don't understand it. God did not forget to lead his church in 1995. He didn't forget that we didn't think Mr. Armstrong would die. God knows the church is small now. It's different than what it was in the 70s and 80s. God knows our limitations to preach the gospel, to do the work of God around the world. God knows about world events, things that have happened. God knows that it appears that we are in incredible danger. He knows this guy over in North Korea, Kim Jong-un. My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. I have purposed it. I will do it. Incredibly powerful words for us. So, what unexpected things do we expect will happen because the Bible says they will happen? As we conclude the sermon, I think we need to remember that point. we really must now learn to expect the unexpected. Brethren, things are going to happen that will be frightening, that will test our faith, that will be miraculous, unbelievable. Even though we're told about them in advance, it will still be unexpected unless we remember, wait a minute, I was told to expect the unexpected. Paul gave a sermon, Acts 13, verse 40. What did he warn the people? Let me read it. He said, "Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets comes upon you." What was it? This is what he quoted from Habakkuk 1, 5. "And it may come upon us." He says, beware. Beware what? "Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you." So even though we've been told about many things for many years, perhaps even for us, they'll still be unexpected. Well, I just can't believe that. But we were told. Let's mention a few. First one, the work of God will end suddenly. I've quoted this before. I believe Daniel 12, verse 7 makes a reference to that. Daniel 12 and verse 7 talks about the power of the holy people being completely shattered. All these things shall be finished. And then we have the timeline. But I do believe the work of God will end and end suddenly. And we will be unable to preach the gospel to the world. I believe that 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 1 will come to pass. There will be a time when there are miracles done by false prophets. 2 Thessalonians 2, I won't take the time to read through all of it, but verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means, that day will not come unless the falling away comes. The man of sin is revealed, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped. So he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God." Verse 5, "Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things?" And we will forget, many of us. Verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and sign and lying wonders, with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for that reason, God will send them strong delusion, and they will believe the lie." And we think we can read that and expect it. That won't affect me. I'm afraid some of us, yes, it will. I hope not. I pray not. You better take it seriously. Revelation 12, verse 13. "The earth swallowing the dragon's armies as we do go to a place of protection." Revelation, this is amazing scripture. When the dragon saw he'd been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman who was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And then look at this, verse 15. "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, so that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood." It's going to look like we're going to die. "But the earth helps the woman. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth." We wouldn't have expected such a thing. And when it actually is taking place, we're going to be afraid. We better remember what's about to happen. And trust God. Another point. The location of the place of safety will likely surprise us. Let me turn to a scripture. No, I don't have a scripture on that one. Sorry. But I thought I'd throw that in anyway. We just saw it's in the wilderness. We talked about a place called Petra or Petra. I hope it's not there. If you've ever been there, it's not a pleasant place, but maybe it is. I think wherever it is, it will be unexpected. Families betraying one another to death. Matthew 10, verse 21. Families betraying one another to death. Brother will rise up against brother. A father, his child, children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. We wouldn't have expected that. He who endures to the end will be saved. You endure through that. That's a lot of endurance. The last thing we'll look at. Multiple thousands will repent and be converted during the time of the Great Tribulation. Revelation 7. Many thousands will repent and be converted during the Great Tribulation. Verse 3, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number, 144,000 were sealed. Verse 9, after these things I looked, a great multitude that no one could number of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Verse 14, who are these? These are ones who have come out of the great tribulation, washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes we don't expect that. How many is an innumerable multitude? The last shall be first. Who are these people? Where are they from? So these are some things that I think we should expect to happen, that we know are going to happen, but when they happen, they're going to be unexpected. But we've got to be prepared for what will be unexpected by everyone else. What's the bottom line to this sermon? God's in charge. That's it. God's in charge. God will always be our loving Father, guiding and directing our journey into eternal life in His family. So let's walk the journey with Him. Let's face unexpected events in total trust, total faith, even when these unexpected events happen in our lives. We can always expect God will be there with us all the way.